Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And a very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in. It's a busy afternoon. Did I not mention? From the very beginning, today, Ziyashuba, it's really, really busy. It's time for Legal Junction. And I know you guys are always ready for this one. We've even received a couple of complaints that our time is just too short. But here we are. What matters is that we are actually here today. Mr. SK, good afternoon and welcome in.
Afternoon, Luke. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Listen, it's fine. You can go live and run the risk.
I'm trying to do that.
you can go ahead and take the risk. No, it's not. That's Shuel. Are here.
Let me see if I can succeed this side.
So if you were tuned in last week, you might have picked up that we were covering a couple of not decided cases, but ongoing cases in South Africa right now. And so we're going to still be flowing along those lines today, keeping you posted, keeping you updated. But please note that we will no longer be live streaming our programs on Facebook. And that's inclusive of Legal Junction as well. But don't worry, because you can still enjoy watching all your favorite presenters on YouTube. Simply subscribe to our Radio Pulpit YouTube channel and stay connected for encouragement, inspiration, and the good news. So visit our website or go directly to YouTube, to our YouTube page, and hit subscribe today. Listeners will, of course, also still be able to tune in on radiopulpit.co.za, our app, DSTV 882, OpenView 604, and 657 AM. You can still catch us on all the other platforms, but unfortunately, we can't be on Facebook right now. May I say, too many rules in that room. What do they call it? They call it the village. They're by the village.
No, yes.
The village is making sure that they're tightening the screws. It's getting a lot. SK, how are you, though?
I'm all right, Luke. And also, let me pass my greetings to the beautiful
listeners. Yes, I figured you haven't greeted the listeners.
Yeah, I haven't greeted them, yeah.
How can you do that? Those are the people that actually love
I should
you.
Actually start with the listeners.
Start with me.
I was supposed to say I greet the listeners of Radio Pulpit in the name of Jesus. Then I come and say, how are you doing, Luke, my friend? We had a chat, man.
we had a chat last week.
Yes.
We spoke and we looked extensively at the case Gaga Sisnand. We were discussing that at length last week, and today we're taking a bit of, not a spin, but we are continuing in that direction, looking at cases in South Africa.
Yes.
We were chatting off air and we're talking about the way Mr. Bester is a mastermind. You know, I remember a couple of months, if not years ago, when they had just been deported. I can't even remember how far back. Wasn't that 2023?
Yes, it was 2020.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Talking about him being a mastermind.
Uh-huh.
Just yesterday, I'm having a chat with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to mention that the way he's wise, this is a God-given wisdom. The guy was like, this guy cannot get this wisdom from God. He's a crook.
Here's my take, and this is what I was saying. And guys, don't quote me. This is just me. I remember even his representative said, you can't tell me he's the first to escape. You know, we've got a lot of escapees. And he even mentioned Ananias Mate. He said, let's go back to Ananias Mate. But listen, we know what escapes are. Let's start there.
Yes.
We know one will dig this, one will do this, one... Have you ever heard of somebody who escapes from prison and is only realized months and years later, which I'm an rapper, Malomont? Do you get my point?
Yeah.
My thing is, and this is what I say, and I still want to watch the documentary because I saw pictures of his mom. I don't know if she had an opportunity to speak. But for me, and guys, like again, I'm saying, disclaimer, these are not the views of Radio Pulpit, these are not the views of Mr. SK or Legal Junction, but it's just a thought in my mind. You would see, this guy is a genius. To to have escaped. And only months and years later do they realize, and my thing was, if you remember, they actually mentioned, he was undocumented. A South African, but undocumented.
No ID, nothing.
Nothing. And so my thing is, as a parent, and this is my thought as a parent as well, I'm raising children. And I raise children who are undocumented. And this child realizes later on in their life, undocumented as they are, man, I'm clever. I'm a genius. Yeah. And what do you think will happen? Really? I'm just like, the boy realized that he was a genius. And again, being a genius, he had no stand in society because he was an unknown.
Yes.
We all know, you, Mr. SK, you even know this. A lot of children, as they get older and they get abometric and whatnot, they don't get social grants. They don't go to school. They go to school because education department allows them, but they can only go so far. I mean, mabapuma kumetric, who are they? Let's start there. Yeah. They need IDs. They don't have those IDs. Not only that, they get to varsity. They'll never see the doors of varsity. That's the truth.
For sure.
Now, this person grows. This intelligent person grows. And they can't penetrate all these systems because they're undocumented. They fall into a life of crime.
Yeah.
You allow a genius to fall into a life of crime and you think things will still be in order.
Nah.
Man, I'm still to hear if this guy has never been involved with my CITs and whatnot, because who is he?
He's powerful. He's very intelligent.
I don't know if it was ever done, but I remember the one time where a conversation of him being documented came up.
Yes.
Is when he was arrested only. Then they had to document him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So then you must have these conversations to say, Benlinden, what were you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And that's the risk. As much as I understand, a lot of crime could happen when we go about just documenting everyone, right? We are aware of that. But again, a lot of crime can occur when people are undocumented. That's the truth. So last week, but we're not going to continue on Besta today.
Talking about the escape, did you hear the submissions by his legal rep just last week? Last week, yeah.
I heard it was last week. That's what I'm saying. When he mentioned even Abo Ananias to say he's not the best person to escape, I'm like,
yeah.
And then he says, we are yet to hear whether or not he escaped because there are various forms of paroles and how people can get out of prison. I'm like,
yeah, out of context, because it's very important that when you address the court, you must address the issues before court.
I mean, I watched that guy.
The issues were way out of context.
I'm just like,
we are here to say a documentary should not be published.
Then you talk about forms of leaving prison.
We're talking about forms and types of coming out of prison.
I'm just like, and the thing is, you're not doing that against anybody else. Yes. We end up tembega.
Yeah, like, with confidence.
Like, really?
Yeah. You see the importance of preparation.
Yeah, we can tell. Even if we're not lawyers, we can tell.
Yeah, in everything that we do, even when we have to come here on radio, I mean, preparation. Otherwise, we'll just come here and mumble.
It's an inside joke, guys. It's an inside. We get why we're laughing at this. It's an inside joke. No. But really, he was just too brave.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not taking a swipe at him. I just want to know, because you know him as your friend.
Yes.
Where did he graduate from?
University of Northwest.
Bofunda Nai.
Yeah, we come from the same, Bofunda from Nai. The same university.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to cast aspersions. He was your schoolmate.
He was your varsity mate. No,
is that where you know him from?
Yes, we all come from University of Northwest, yeah.
Yo, Sanda.
Sure.
We are yet to understand what you guys do at Northwest University. I'm kidding.
Yeah, but you see, look, you're not going to paint all of us with one brush.
No, definitely. And I mean, I really can't. Yeah. Those guys are part of us.
They're part of us.
Part of picture business. So, hey, what do you mean?
I think sometimes also the media, man, The presence of the media in these courts, I think it gives these practitioners some vibe that now, you know, I'm now live on ENCA.
Yeah. I can make a name for myself.
I can make a name for
myself.
But after that,
man, I'd never hired him as my lawyer. Guys, no.
Yeah.
We are yet to see Wootsie. Is he going to do a brilliant job? But anyway, Mr. SK, we are going to continue today. We are left with a very few minutes, by the way. But we're going to be looking at another. I want to introduce you guys to this before I we need to go to the news very soon. But another one that I want us to look at today. There's a lot of other ones we can look at, but
yes,
Kat Matlala.
Yeah.
I was listening to the news one time and I'm just like, this guy's moneyed.
Yeah,
this guy's moneyed. Because one of the reasons and the submissions that were made by the state was that he's a flight risk because one, he's got a passport he's been using to go in and out of. Is it Swaziland or Botswana? Botswana,
yes.
I think.
Swaziland.
Yeah, Swaziland, yes. I think it's stamped as well. Or is it unstamped? But basically, my guy has been going in and out, no questions asked, different name, which then makes him a flight risk.
Yes.
Not only that, but my guy is wealthy. This guy's got a private jet, apparently.
Yeah.
So we're not just dealing. I almost said with the best, and I undermined him, but best, sorry to go back to him, guys. Never did I see a guy that made the whole adults sing happy birthday to him virtually. Do you remember that video?
While in custody.
Do you remember? In custody. This guy was having virtual meetings. Yeah. In custody, had people sing happy birthday. But who's to prove he was really in custody at that point
giving
in time?
Giving donations to him and
you're not paying big monies.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Kat apparently is quite moneyed as well.
No, he
and,
is.
And it's one of the submissions that are made for him to not be released.
Mm.
But in light of that, guys, that's the chat we're going to have shortly now because I need to quickly just take a song. But in light of that, there's also a story that's been I think I've read twice already on the news this afternoon, which is one of the things Mr. SK is going to be looking at this afternoon with us actually as well. Mameluke Kokobai, who's the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, has been condemning the brutal killing of prosecutors in our country. And he says about five prosecutors have been shot and killed over the past 5 years. One for each year, I guess, though they may not have all died each year. But over the past 5 years, in these three provinces. That's and bad. I'm going to tell you why I'm pointing out these three provinces for you.
Yeah.
Western Cape.
Yes.
KwaZulu-Natal. Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I'm listening to one of these radio stations while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Guys, I have to. I have no choice unless I use my phone, which is, by the time I leave work, it's almost dead. But there was, I think, a spokesperson, Sekodeta, and they're talking about the killings in the Western Cape, right?
Yes.
And so they asked the spokesperson, so the presenter asked the spokesperson, Wootsie, how do you guys, like, do you guys have your own inkabis? Because these people, and I'm thinking, does this guy think the spokesperson's going to say, yes, it's our own inkabis, he says? Or do you employ, what happens, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy says, no, tinasna's inkabi. We don't know anything about these killings. He says, it's people who have personal vendettas who are now using our name to try and kill. So somebody comes in, somebody calls in and says, did you really think he was going to admit to this? Do you really think he was going to say, yes, we killed these people ourselves? And then, and this is the whole point, then this guy says, no. So the presenter asks, where do you get these nkabis? Is it from KZN? We know KZN.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, here in Western Cape, we have our own. This is what. And he says, yeah, in Eastern Cape, we have our own.
So he was tendering a plea of guilt accepting
it. But remember, this is just a caller. This is just a guy. He says, no, in Cape Town, we've got our own.
Okay.
Then he incriminates the Eastern Cape as well. He says, some of them come from the Eastern Cape. Guys, it's so funny. But now that I think of it, see the story. Yeah. Who does it implicate? KZN?
Exactly.
Western Cape?
Western Cape.
Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape, yeah.
So now I'm starting to say, Mr. I believe that guy. I believe that guy, Inkabi. Yeah. Clearly, they come from KZN, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. If five of the prosecutors can be called killed, yeah, particularly in these three provinces,
yeah,
then you say that guy was lying.
Nah.
Guys, yeah, there's more to the story. There's more to the story. Guys, let's quickly run to the news. We'll be back as Mr. SK and I. And welcome, welcome, welcome back. My name is Lukom Gwedu-Puti, and I'm not flying solo. I am with Mr. Peluso Siyakamela, the only lawyer of the radio. Mr. SK.
Yes, Luko.
You can come through. There you are.
Yes.
So in this hour, like I said, we're talking, Mr. Kat Matlala. Give us a brief, basically, of what the case is all about for somebody that's listening for the very first time.
He's faced with various charges, Luko, but the one that which he was currently bidding for bail for,
mm-hmm,
is the one for attempted murder of the ex girlfriend.
Okay.
Tebojani, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Hence it's held in Alexander, because this transpired somewhere around Sentin site and so forth and so forth. So the court that has got jurisdiction where it happened is Alexander Magistrate Court.
Is there a court in Sentin, or
There is a court.
Because I'm like, why didn't happen in Sandton? Why in Alexandria?
There is. I think they're using Randburg. So it's solely dependent
on where it
transpires. Then they can decide to say, we go to Randburg or we go to Randburg.
Okay. Makes sense. All right.
Yeah. So he's faced with charges as related to attempted murder of various people, mm-hmm, and also money laundering.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. If you heard the magistrate yesterday when she was handing down a judgment on bail, there's various things that she mentioned. One, remember there's issues, Luko, that which the court has to look into.
Okay.
For one to be qualifying or to be admitted for bail, yes.
Okay.
Then if you check those requirements and conditions, one of them is that one should not be a flight risk.
Sorry, wait. Wasn't he on bail for another case still?
Yes.
When he was caught for this one as well?
He was on bail for another. Hence, I'm saying he's got various charges. I think come trial, I'm not sure as to whether they're going to do them concurrently or they're going to trial them separately. But I foresee a very lengthy sentence if he's to be found guilty, especially given the charges
against him.
Mm. You see, so yesterday he was denied bail. We're not so sure if he will appeal.
Okay,
because remember that is still within his right to can appeal that judgment or that ruling of yesterday.
Mm.
So the reasons by the magistrate was that he's a flight risk.
Right.
Hence, I'm saying bail requirements and conditions. The first one should not be a flight risk. And you must convince the magistrate that you will attend all future court dates, mm-hmm, and not attempt to escape.
And yanungulo nama passport.
Okay. And there's also, I don't know what's going on with these guys, Luko, when it comes to their identity. Because remember, there's also allegations about him to say he's got a Swatin identity.
Passport. Oh, okay.
You see, so he's not having...
So this passport he's been using is not a... it's not a South African passport.
It's not.
It's an Eswatini passport.
Yes.
Which is inadvertently a claim that he's actually from the nation of Eswatini and not necessarily South Africa.
And now it tells you a lot, Luko, because remember here we are talking about a businessman. That's how the court addresses him.
Yeah.
Then the question one is how do you do business in the country, especially for such huge tenders?
If you are not South African.
Ooh. Are not... correct or are not of this particular country. And also the question now in relation to registration of these companies that is trading with, you see, so there's just a lot of things now that will come up, especially during trial.
I'm not saying he didn't have any other crimes before this one or allegations, But this one opened a can of worms for him.
Yeah.
A huge can of worms.
And now the sad part, even the wife, I mean, she's out on 20,000 bail. They're still going to undergo trial together. They're still going to incur legal costs.
So she's out on bail?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, she's the co-accused. This particular case of Thobejane. So there's a lot of things that we're going to hear when this matter goes to trial.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, but I felt pity for him when yesterday, Luko.
Why?
For some reason, the Christian in me, man, the Christ in me, I'm starting to think about he's in custody, what's happening to his children and so forth, understand? Oh. So I was like, man, the magistrate here should have done something.
Can't be you, Gesana. It can't be you who practices the law, Shem. No, the Christian in you must sit down right now. He must face the music.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, I heard Uguti even has like private jets and whatnot.
Yeah.
So umuntu sekaphumile. And you know what they do? They run to countries where South Africa has no treaty with that particular country.
Mm.
And once that happens, it's chai, my friend.
Yeah.
I advocate for them keeping him there. Mm. I'm not saying he's guilty, but he must definitely face the music.
Yeah,
exactly. And if he's not guilty, he will be out. His name will be cleared.
For sure.
Yeah, but I'm not even going to say whether there's smoke, there's fire. It's not relevant right now. I just said it. But it's not relevant right now. The fact of the matter is he needs to stand trial like everybody else.
Yeah, the wheels of justice must move. And
they must sharpen left and right, like you say.
They must sharpen left and right. Mm. And he must be allowed to have a fair trial.
Yeah.
Because the community has got this thing of finding people guilty before they are found guilty by the court of law.
But be that as it may, you must also remember, Mr. SKM, this is something we are moving towards as well while we have this conversation. We'll see. He's also suspected or implicated in the case of Babita Deokaran.
Yes.
Did you get my point?
Yeah.
And for me also, it's a, that's why I'm saying, I'm not going to say with the smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
But what happened to Babita?
Yeah.
Look, he was implicated in the investigations that Babita Deokaran had, how do I say this? Basically, his company was flagged
in relation to the Tembisa hospital saga.
Exactly my point. Mm. And it wasn't long after that.
Yeah.
Babita Deokaran was killed, assassinated. And now this one is claiming Uguti, she was almost assassinated as well. Mm. And he's the common link.
Yeah.
No, guys. No. We've got to be serious about such things. Yeah. Take them to task, because then if that's the case, and the reason I'm saying this brings us to the next conversation, we are seeing, like I was saying earlier on, with the prosecutors are being killed.
Yes.
Witnesses are being killed. Lawyers are being killed. You remember the lawyer involved with the Gupta sequestration was recently killed as well.
Mm.
We're now seeing a pattern of legal heads being murdered for doing umsebenzi wabo, for making sure that the law is respected in our country.
It's not right.
It's not right.
It can't be. I was listening to the averments of General Mkhwanazi. To say,
where do we catch that? I need to catch up on that one. I'm very intentional about.
I was watching it on, I think in, it's 4 or 5 or something.
Okay, I'm going to find it.
You see, so I was listening to his address to say, witnesses have been threatened, like you say, witnesses have been killed.
Mm.
And some, they even renounce witness protection because they can't even trust the people that are going to be assigned.
Thank you for clarifying
to protect them.
I read that part and I was wondering why. Mm. Why are they renouncing witness protection?
Yeah.
So they feel them agreeing to being under witness protection is in fact driving them
further under siege. You see.
Oh, so they don't trust the people who are assigned with putting them under witness protection.
Yes.
Well, I guess it makes sense if his accusations to say even the judiciary and the police sector is involved in such things. Because then how can you say a witness then is safe?
Because this witness will be protected by the police. Then if a person says, I renounce this protection, I don't want police to protect me, then it says something else. I think.
For instance, he was supposed to be under witness protection, but surely he's not going to take that up.
He's not.
No, definitely.
He's not.
If he's making such claims.
Yeah.
By the way, where has he been all this time? Because I remember they had beefed up security at his property.
Yeah.
And I've been wondering, where has he been until the Matlanga Commission?
A nice setup there in that commission. Yeah, they put water.
Uh-huh.
And on tables and so forth. I saw him yesterday refusing to take. He brings his own water.
Is it that deep?
I'll tell you, is that deep?
No, is it that deep?
Yes.
Like he won't even take water, anything offered to him by anyone.
When we leave here, go and check it.
No, but we're Africans.
There's another guy who
wanted. No, but we Africans. You know how that ends
to
up.
Greet him by the shake of hand.
Then he refused.
He refused.
No,
the,
but
the chair that was put for him to come and testify.
He chose another one.
He chose another chair. He just didn't want anything to do with that setup. He changed the entire setup.
Who was it? No, I'm trying to think, who was it? It wasn't President Ramaphosa. There was a minister recently. But I think it was him. I think it was Mkwana's, where he went and sat and there were water and stuff in the table.
Yeah.
And he jumped and took someone else's water to say, you drink if you're brave enough.
Yeah.
Because if you're assigning me to this chair, and what have you put in my water? Guys, here's the thing, in case you're wondering what we're going on about. We're Africans.
Yes.
We know that things such as poisoning are very common, especially if you are a person of this caliber.
Yeah.
If they've assigned you, they could send, you know, a person to go place that water there. My clauses we say ugliswa. That's ugliswa.
Yeah.
So I understand where he's coming from. Sure.
But even scared to take a chair. Yeah.
Again, like serious. I'm saying, it's not just about drinking.
Yeah.
Where you set your foot as well, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. I understand him. In other words, do not assign anything to me.
Yeah.
Let me choose for myself.
Hmm.
And if I land on the wrong one, then I've landed on it.
Yeah.
Ash. Sure. And so his testimony has started.
Has started. And I think we'll still hear a lot of things that will also link some of these masterminds that we on about. We know their matters are still before judicial considerations and so forth. But like we did with the one for Netflix, we gave our own
View
and predictions here on the legal
and
tension.
It turned out to be correct. So if anything, guys, you've got to give respect to legal junction.
Yeah, you must give respect to the legal junction.
Because we made our prediction and indeed it ended. And you even said it would have costs involved.
Have costs,
And that's exactly what happened, actually.
On scale C.
What does that mean? Clarify it for us.
It's a
guys, we're here to learn. I'm learning as well.
Remember, Temberger was praying for costs there.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's obviously there's legal finances that are involved when you run an agent application. Like we said, it's expensive by its nature.
Yeah, to
so
run it.
So I think for him to pray to the judge that it must be.
In case you guys are wondering. Pray. It's legal lingo, by the way.
Yeah,
it's asking basically.
Yes.
When you say pray, you're asking. Yes.
You see, so for him to have asked costs at scale C, I think he was looking at the cost implications that they have incurred as the legal team.
Okay.
Because that is more like a higher scale.
Oh.
Of cost in terms of punitive costs. You see, so I think that hence he specifically prayed to the judge that at least if you give costs, give us on a scale C. So it's a higher scale in terms of costs.
So they got that scale.
They got that, yeah.
Ah, Tembega and Jackie.
They got
that. But tell me, Mr. SK, what are the implications on... these matters, as we were talking about, you know, Abo Babita being murdered and whatnot, we've seen a rise, like I say, in legal heads being murdered.
Yes.
And people don't realize how serious it is. I want to believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's like the conversation that's always been had to say, it's not that any life is more important than the other, but you kill a cop, an example is going to be set of you.
Yes.
It's one of those, would see, you just don't.
Yeah.
What are the, I don't know if I should say implications, but what happens to a person who decides to shut the legal system up?
Obviously, one has to face the arm of the law. And they need to be arrested. They need to be charged by the police. Then they need to appear before the court of law.
Is it a more serious crime?
Yeah, for any other crime, like we're talking about Cat Matlala. Remember, these people, we must presume them innocent.
Until proven guilty
by the court of law. You see? So regardless of whatever allegations that are there against them, no one has
they have to be given a fair trial.
They must be given a fair trial.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because, one, should it happen that we deal this matter with emotions, the likelihood that he may get away with it is high. If we are to take this matter with emotions and so forth and so forth. Because at the end of
the day,
we will end up punishing him for even things that he did not do. So let him face a fair trial.
But should it then be established that indeed the person is guilty? I think that's where my question is at. And they're guilty of trying to obstruct justice in that way. Is that more punishable than a regular, you just murdered a person? Does the law look into such things?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
You are not allowed to kill any other human being or a person.
So there's no stricter measure because it's a legal person.
Do you understand?
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's murder, and relevant sentences obviously will be imposed by courts.
Okay.
Do you understand? So, yeah. But and obviously every case will be treated on its own merits. We had the cases of Abun Tutuka Shoba and Pule, if you still remember the case in Roodepoort. You see, he was given a relevant sentence. So let's anticipate the same thing, Luko, here, to say whoever that is to be found guilty and must be given a relevant sentence. And our courts, I trust them that they are competent to such an extent that they can also, because remember what the reason why one is sentenced is also a deterrence to others. Because you see, there's people that looks at Cat Matlala and say, this is my role modeling. And they are still willing to come and say, I want to be like him. I want to commit offenses like him. So we have such people that
who look up to
criminals and say, this is an inspiration. This is the lifestyle that I want to live. You see? Yeah. So, I mean, it will also serve as a deterrence that whoever that we will want to come and commit such offenses should know that there was once a person by this name and this person was given a harsh sanction. It's just that unfortunately State Visits Makonyani has dealt with the issue of death penalty, because I saw some people on social media say,
whenever we have these type of cases, you always find the conversation of death penalty.
Of death penalty, but unfortunately we do not have that in our country.
Yeah.
They will just have to serve a lengthy imprisonment term.
Any of our neighboring countries actually still have it?
Yes, Botswana has.
Really? Does Botswana?
Yeah.
And he's from Swaziland.
You remember that artist
I'm trying to think, he's from Swaziland, because I was going to say, let's take him back to his country, Botswana.
From Botswana. There's an artist, South African artist, who had to flee to the border gate after he committed culpable homicide
just so that he's captured by the South African cops.
Yeah, so that he can cap the sanction of death penalty.
Doesn't have a problem, guys, with being arrested, but he's just like, let me be arrested in my own
let
country.
Let me be arrested in South Africa. That's to be arrested. Yeah, I'm gone.
Sure. You see. Speaking of that, I know I'm totally off topic. What does it then take to help a country alter their laws in like, that's a huge thing, death penalty.
Yeah.
Is there anything perhaps neighboring countries or international law can do to help a country reach a different stance to penalties than death penalty?
No, unfortunately, to give a harsh...
just to say, that, isn't there something that can be done to try and assist a country in reconsidering such measures?
It's entirely in the hands of our judges. Like I say, that the entire trust is within our judges and magistrates, because they are the ones that must decide the fate of a person who there's allegations of crime against them.
No. But what I'm saying is there nothing that neighboring countries or even the international courts can do to assist? For example, Botswana,
yes.
And look into that because it is an inhumane measure, if
or
you think about it.
To advise, say, do away. No. Remember, every state has got relevant people that puts in
the laws,
you see.
Sure. So there's no influence that we can have.
No.
Just advisory as brothers.
Just
but
advisory
we can't.
To say, yeah, this is not right, but we cannot go and just say suddenly then we are changing their laws.
If you agree to being sent to Botswana to commit a crime, you are a very brave person. Because they're going to kill you.
Yes.
Sure.
See, it's bad, Luko. But if you can check, it's a very less crime oriented state than South Africa. Yeah, there is not much of crime, because people, they know the circumstances.
Botswana is not that big, though.
It's
not that big. Let's compare it to the other smaller ones.
Abu Lesotho, and so forth. Yeah.
Does it still have less crime than those?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
I think it's given the consequences, Luko, to say, should I be arrested after having committed this type of a crime? Then this is the sanction that is going to be imposed on me. So it's those things. So people, they do as they like. They know that I'm accepted and I'm a relevant candidate to be admitted to bail.
And if anything, I'll get 3 meals.
Yeah,
they always say
within 48 hours I'll appear before court. Then the magistrate will give me bail. Then I'll come and roam the streets again and stand my trial.
Sure.
Or try to even, because I don't think General Mkhwanazi can just make such huge allegations.
That's true. You see,
to say who are the state organs that, like we say, how was a person that is not a South African, that does not have the relevant documents, having to get a tender of such a huge amount of money?
But interestingly enough, the spotlight shone on him even more after General Mkhwanazi's allegations.
You see?
Yeah.
Hence, I'm saying, you see, I see people, they are saying Mkhwanazi was sent to us by God.
I remember they said, touch Mkhwanazi, you've touched us.
You've touched us.
You've touched us.
Because, you know, I believe South Africans, Luko, honestly, myself personally, I'm tired with crime. I'm tired with crime because it's not right at all.
I'm laughing because the way he's tired of crime, guys, he doesn't even like going to court.
Yeah, you see.
I was just telling Tata now that Mr. SK hates court with a passion.
Yeah,
he tries to avoid it as much as he can.
The thing even suits, man. You see, if they were saying we can come with shorts and so forth, hey, those things look. Remember, I started as a court interpreter.
It's as if you were listening to a conversation. I said to him, he hates it so much because he started as a
I've been wearing a suit for the entire life, so I don't want to see a suit anymore.
Not anymore.
Hence, I'm the lawyer of the radio.
but be that as it may, I think just the last question, because I'm looking at time, Mr. SK, and you've got to rush off to Polokwane.
Yes.
But should it be? I know that the the findings of the Madlanga Commission are not necessarily binding.
Yes.
But should it be, should we find out that, or the Madlanga Commission find out that indeed Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi is onto something and they make recommendations for charges to be pressed and. What does that mean for our legal system, Mr. SK? Because it's highly implicated. Implicated. What does that mean? What does it say about our legal system?
Yeah, you see, it will render our system untrustworthy.
That's my fear.
Yeah.
And I'm really praying and hoping right now that all of this is not squashed to protect our legal system. Now I'm living that fear to say it will mean there are no boundaries. It will mean the laws are wiggly diggly in South Africa. But also, I don't want our authorities to look at that picture and abort justice now.
Yeah, but you see, look, there's one thing that I will say, and I've said it here before on the Legal Junction, to say our legal system is very strong and powerful.
Okay.
But the people within. So what I wish is that those that will be implicated into this particular crimes, they should face the arm of the law. They should be brought to book so that it can be a deterrence.
Mm.
But it shouldn't put our system in question.
I heard one of the authorities at some point say, no, Mkhwanazi needs to mention who in the legal system is involved. And I was like, as true as that is, but how it's being said, it almost as if it's to intimidate him to not mention names.
Yeah, but the same way he's mentioning others in the police.
True.
I think that's how he must move.
True, true.
If he really wants this commission to assist the country.
I just wish these commissions were actually binding. I wish they were courts.
Yeah.
Because now, after this commission, then a court case needs to ensue. Then for me, it's more like we're starting from scratch again.
And there's look, it's
going to take years.
Did you see the budget for this commission?
How much is it?
Yo, it's millions. It's millions.
That's why I'm saying I wish it was courts. Because from this point, should there be any cases that need to... let's look at the history of commissions in South Africa.
Yes.
And be realistic, how has it gone? How many commissions have we had now that I'm an adult, actually, that we can think of? Yeah, come on, guys.
No. We had the Zondo Commission.
See, Pina Zondo Commission.
Yeah.
Did you get my point?
Yes.
What is happening? Yes, we've had some allow us to go back and open inquests and do this and this and that. But
like
what?
And the reconciliation.
That's why I'm saying the inquest has been reopened. But be that as it may, what is the measure?
Yes.
Guys, no. We've got to do better as a country.
We have to.
We've got to do better. Otherwise, we're going to be wasting taxpayers' money and things end there. Think about it this way. After this commission, as important as it is, we want to make sure we get to the bottom of it. But how much more money will be used to run a case to bring these people to book?
To book. And by that time, when this commission ends, will those witnesses that are supposed to testify
still
now
be fit enough?
Still willing to testify or still recalls the sequence of events as to what really transpired, what really happened, to understand.
Or maybe,
because this commission might run, Luko, for years. So.
I think, or maybe, I don't know, man, but a solution should come up. Maybe their testimony should be recorded and reused for a court case. But the thing is, in a court case again now, you find a different person and they have to establish the truth beyond what the commission has found, I guess, which then gets a little tricky as well. But yeah, guys.
And there's still a lot of witnesses that are to be called. Hence, I'm saying that commission is still going to run for some time. If
we know what happened with the Zondo Commission.
Yeah,
it ran past its time.
Yeah.
More money needed to be invested into it.
And now witnesses are forgetting.
Eh.
The time they are going to be called to come testify, some will be old.
Guys, no. Mr. SK, unfortunately, we've got to call it.
I must move now.
Yeah,
still have
get going.
Two, 3 hours drive to PLK.
No, but at least it's just here. You guys, 2-3 hours. It's not even Bloemfontein. Tina.
You said it. You must take me along with Tina. Take me along.
About 14 hours. You want to drive that?
Yeah.
Okay. One of these days, guys.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Eastern Cape? You have been to the Eastern Cape, right?
I've been to Mdantsane.
Oh, no, you've been in my neighborhood generally. Yeah. Oh, I lived in East London. Most of the time I go to East London or Dukya. You've been to the real Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. It's time for us to, well, not time for me to say goodbye, but for Mr. Yeah. SK to sign out.
For sure. From myself, the only lawyer of the radio, we're doing this same time, same place next week, Thursday. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. SK. God bless.
Amen.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Yazisa ngeshishini lakho ku Radio Pulpit. Ubuyele kwisimo esiphilileyo. I Radio Pulpit ine 40 years yasungulwayo. Kwaye nabaphulaphuli abangaphaya kwe 400,000. Sinikela ngepackages ukuncedisana nawe uphuhlisa ishishini lakho. Tsalela uSanet ku 012-334-1254 okanye uthumele umyalezo ku sanet@radiopulpit.co.za okanye uthumele igama advertise ku SMS ku 37871. Standard rates apply.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.